Morning.
Morning.
As you can tell, I am not Jim. So, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's probably bad. But I am going to have a lesson that's very simple. And it's going to be a working lesson. So, I'm going to ask every one of you to participate. The bulletins come around. I'd like to ask for everyone to take a bulletin. And if you need a pen, raise your hand. I bought a bunch of pens. So we're going to do some goal planning this morning. And we'll deep dive as to what that means. So anyway, thank you for everyone being here, and especially those who are visiting. We consider you a special guest. So obviously, today is December 31st. So today is New Year's Eve. So they're coming. So with that, what a best time to talk about New Year's resolutions. We're going to talk about goals, in particular, setting spiritual goals. And so what I'd like to ask each of us to do is, as I'm talking, think about your own spiritual goals and what you'd like to accomplish for 2024. So I'm going to give you a couple of my goals, not for you to write down and mimic as yours, but if you see that you want to do that, great. I'm asking you to think about yourself, think about what you need to improve on, and then write those things down. And what we're going to do is go through the goal process, the first half of our discussion, and then last half we're going to talk about some real spiritual goals that I'm working on. So maybe that will inspire you to do something with your goals. So it's a good tag team lesson of what Jim just talked about last week. He talked about spiritual, are you a mature Christian? And I think after this lesson today, I think Joe's going to tag team off of my lesson and talk about some other things that he's working on that may be inspiring to you to as your goals. So let's turn to the scripture reading that was read, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 again. Brethren, I do not regard myself having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, what I see Paul doing here is he's looking ahead. He's not looking behind. Think about what Paul did before he became Paul. He was Saul. What did he do? Did he do a lot of good things, or did he do a lot of treacherous things? He did a lot of bad things. And I'm sorry, I'm not too used to doing the PowerPoint here. Let's get one of you to go. All right, there we go. Now we can start. So Paul did a lot of things. He was a scoundrel in a lot of ways. He had people killed. He had people thrown in jail. All those kind of things. Now, what do you think he said? I don't look behind. I look forward. Well, because he had a bad past. Why dwell on the past? And that's what I'm asking us to do today. If 2023 wasn't a great year for you, let's focus on this coming year. Let's not worry about what we've done in the past. Let's move forward. It's kind of like, you know, as you're driving your car, and you probably heard this before, when you're driving your car, you've got this big windshield in front of you, and you have a small mirror looking behind. Can you imagine if your mirror was as big as your front windshield? What kind of chaos that would be? You got to look in your rearview mirror once in a while and make sure what's behind you, you know. You need to kind of know what's behind you, but you don't focus on it. You focus on what's ahead. And the same way is true of what Paul's saying here. Move forward. Let's think about the future. So the big question is, and these are things that we all need to think about ourselves, okay? So I'm challenging all of us here, as well as me. You know, am I more spiritually improved than I was a year ago? I'm asking you all to think about that to yourself. Are you more spiritually improved? And that's a pretty big question. We're going to kind of deep dive those things. It's a good time to talk about resets and looking forward. And so we're going to talk about goal setting today. So does everybody have a bulletin? Does everybody have something to write with? All right. So my goals can't necessarily be your goals, and your goals can't necessarily be my goals. So it's got to be personal, okay? So when you're thinking about your personal goals for 2024, spiritually speaking, make it personal. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to refer to this again in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, test yourselves to see if you are of the faith. Examine yourselves, or you do not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed you fail the test. So we are challenged to look at ourselves, test ourselves to see if we're of the faith. We're going to talk about this here shortly. But again, new year, new beginnings. What are our spiritual goals for the year? How many times have we made resolutions or goals and it didn't work out so well? Raise your hand. Yeah, I think everybody. So you realize that only 10% completes their goals. This is just kind of things I've Googled. Maybe 10% of the people that really set goals out really accomplish them. 25% quit their resolutions by end of the week, and over 50% quit their goals or resolutions by the end of the month. So I'm going to give you some tips on how you can maintain your goals all year. Just common practical tips to help you improve your goal setting and to maintain them. So first of all, you got to write them down. You got to write your goals down. And that's why you've got the bullets in front of you and a pen. So as we're talking, I want you to think about what you'd like to accomplish spiritually speaking. Okay? So why do we need to write them down? Well, one, so we can be reminded of those things. I write my goals down and I periodically look at them so that I'm reminded of what I said I was going to do. It's a psychological thing, too. According to research, less than 3% of Americans have written goals, and less than 1% of them review them on a daily basis. And if I ask for a show of hands, there may be a few of you that says, yeah, I write my goals down, but how many of you actually review them every day and revise them? Probably none of us. So the point is, if you want to have a goal, a spiritual goal, write it down and review it. Tweak it in as time goes on. Writing our goals down makes us accountable for ourselves. So you are 40 to 50% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down. So it's very important that you write your goals down before you come to action. Not just spiritually speaking, too. Any kind of goal that you set for yourself. But today we're talking specifically for spiritual goals. So that's my challenge to you today. As we're talking, write down 2 or 3 spiritual goals that you'd like to see accomplished for yourself this year. Again, I'm going to share a couple with you and how I've derived to those goals and what I'm doing about it. So to kind of help you figure that out. So not only do we need to write down our goals, they need to be realistic. So what do I mean by that? Well, we'll kind of go through a couple. It's critical to set reasonable goals, not something that's not attainable. So I have here a guy lifting, that looks like 25 kilograms. So there's another one, probably another side, plus the weight of the bar is probably another 25. So you're talking probably 160 pounds, roughly. So if I had my mother try to lift that, that would be unattainable probably. She probably would not be able to lift up 165 pounds. So we need to make sure that whatever goal we have, it's attainable. It needs to be reasonable. So something that requires us to stretch. So it needs to be something that's attainable, but not so easy that I take it for granted. So let me give you a couple examples. So I'll give you a world example. So this is about me. So most of you know I'm a home inspector. My goal this year is to hit 300 inspections for the year. And guess what? I didn't get it. I hit 299 yesterday. So, did I fail? I didn't hit 300. I don't think so. I'm tickled to death about it because I strove for that goal and I almost got it. But it's 13% better than I did last year. So did I win it? Of course I did. That was a hard goal to hit because I had to do a lot of work. And with Carla's help, she helped support me in a lot of ways that you don't see. I attained that goal for the most part. So I guess my point is, if you don't hit your goal exactly, have you made a progress? Have you increased? That's the point. So as we're setting our goals, our spiritual goals, set up something that's practical, it's realistic and attainable, but not so easy that you can just get like that. You've got to stretch yourself. So here's another example. Kyle may appreciate this, especially Dan. I recently got a new set of golf clubs. I'm probably at 95. That's probably why I shoot 95-ish. Part of a scratch golfer is 72. So my goal, this is unattainable. My goal is in 30 days, I'm going to be a scratch golfer. That's not going to happen. I don't care if I practice every day. I'm not going to be a scratch golfer in 30 days. It's going to take a lot of effort. It can take a lot of time, a lot of practice, especially a lot of patience. Those of you who play golf, you know what I'm talking about. Think about an Olympic athlete. I'm not going to wake up one day at 18 years old and say, well, I'm going to be in the Olympics next week. It requires a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifices. So we got to be, my point is we need to be practical and realistic about our goals. We need to be stretching. We need to stretch ourselves in order to attain that goal. And that makes us grow as Christians. So just think about that as we're talking, as you're hopefully writing down some things that you'd like to improve on this coming year, spiritually speaking. All right, so next thing we got to do is make sure we're specific and the steps are broken down to bite-sized pieces. Kind of like an elephant. You can't eat an elephant all at once. You got to eat in pieces at a time if you're going to eat one. So I would start here, and let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:5 again. It says, test yourself to see if you are of the faith. Examine yourselves. Or you don't recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. So, deep diving out a little bit, I would spend some time focusing on that verse. What does that mean? Don't spend 5 minutes studying this verse. Spend an hour contemplating it, looking deeper into this passage. Look at yourself. What do I need to prove on? Am I of the faith? Do I have fruits to prove I am of the faith? Do I need to improve my fruits? Do I need to? Am I in the same position I was last year? Those are all the kind of things that we need to ask ourselves. How do I need to change? What are my weaknesses? As I'm reading this verse, what are my weaknesses? What's some of the feedback I've gotten from others? Guys, if you want feedback, ask your wife. She'll tell you. So, you know, these are the things that I need to look at myself as I'm reading 2 Corinthians 13:5. Look at myself. What do I need to improve? What are my weaknesses? So it's not something that we can do flippantly in 5 minutes. If you really want to focus and do a goal for yourself, spiritually, you want to improve, I would strongly suggest you spend some time looking at that. So, like I said, I don't think 2 Corinthians 13:5 is a 5 minute job. It's a time where we need to examine ourselves. And to examine oneself spiritually includes an honest look whether one is truly a believer in Jesus. Along with that, it calls Christians to examine the details and the results of their faith to see if it's according to truth. Again, what are your fruits? Have you shown? Do you have more fruit this year than you did last year? Okay, so you don't. Let's say you don't. Okay. Think of Paul. Don't look in that rear mirror very much. Sorry. Look forward. Forget about this year. Let's move forward and improve. Don't kick yourself for not hitting all the goals that you may have set for yourself. So, what is goal setting? Goal setting is a process that starts with careful consideration of what you want to achieve and ends up with a lot of hard work. Any goal worth achieving ends in hard work. Goal setting is really about how you manage your time. We all have the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours. So ultimately, what is a goal? I'm trying to get results. That's really what it is. I'm setting a path so I can get results that I want. So the question is, what results do I want? So the question is, we're going to talk about my goals in a minute. Is planning biblical? I'm here to say, yes, it is. And there's many, many, you may want to write these down. You may want to take a picture of it and study those things. But I'm going to tell you that it is. And I'm going to read these passages, starting with Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage, but anyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Kind of soak on that one for a little bit. Talk about planning, not being hasty. Let's talk about another one. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, perhaps her food in the summer, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Let's continue on. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and you need like an armed man. So here's an example of a small, you can learn a lot from a small ant and what they do. James 4. Turn to James chapter 4. Again, these aren't hard principles. These are simple, but I'm trying to make it a very practical lesson for all of us so that we can kind of do our planning for the year. James 4, verse 14 starting. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. So along with your planning, you need to remember, we all need to remember that if it's God's will. We need to pray for wisdom as we are developing our goals and plans for the year and ask for His guidance. So, what are my goals? I think it's a work in progress. I think it's not just a once a year thing. It's a time where I'm working on them, and then I look at them and go, I want to change this a little bit. And that's what goals are for. They're meant to be changed, and they're meant to be modified based on the situation or condition. So one of my spiritual goals is, well, let me back up a minute. One of the things that people say is, okay, I hope I'm better next year. Is that a goal? Hope is not a goal in this sense. I hope to be better. Well, that's just not enough. I need to define that better. What does that mean? Hope alone is not a plan when it comes to goal setting. Our goals and the plan to hit this goal need to be deliberate and specific. So this is what a set goal will do for you. Another one is, I want to study more of my Bible this year. Okay, that's a nice goal, but that's not detailed enough for me to dig in and actually do something. So, what I need to do on a daily basis in order to accomplish this, who can hold me accountable? Do I look at my goals every day? Do I have them posted somewhere? Am I thinking about this on a continual basis? So I've done the research on what's considered a habit. How long does it take to be do a habit? Like it makes it part of your life. So what I've read is the average takes about 66 days of consistent whatever you're doing before it becomes natural part of your life. So I've read where 21 days is the magic number, but I also heard that's kind of a misnomer. But 66 days is what the average is. So take that for what it's worth. My point is, whatever goal you're doing, you You've got to do it for a while, not stop, in order to make it a part of your life. So whatever spiritual goal you have, make sure that you understand that you've got to do it consistently. If you don't, then it may not become part of your life. Okay, so one of the goals for me, spiritual goal, is to become a better and more knowledgeable as a Bible student. Okay, so if I leave it at that, I really haven't done a goal. It's a nice statement, but I haven't really developed it to where I can actually do something with it. Does that make sense? So how am I going to attain this? You know, if I want to be a better Bible student, I guess I can randomly pick scriptures to read every day. And I mean, that's okay. That's not bad if I do that. But I need to be more maybe purposeful with that. So if I want to be a better Bible student, then I need to be more specific. How much better do I want to be? One of my weaknesses, as a lot of you know, is I'm very hyper. So I can't sit still for anything. Even when I'm home, Carla complains about this, but even when I'm home, I don't sit down very long. I got to do something. I don't know why. It's just my DNA. So I understand that that can be good. It's kind of a weakness for me when I want to study because I don't want to sit still. So what am I going to do about it? How much time am I willing to spend in God's Word? What areas of the Bible do I want to get better at? Those are all kind of questions. If that's a goal of yours, those are questions you need to ask yourself. You know, what I want to get better at. So, how much time am I willing to spend? What are things that inhibit my studies? This is going to hit some of you. How much time do I spend on Facebook? How much do I spend on Instagram? How much time, and I'm talking to myself, how much time do I spend on my phone? Just go anywhere and everybody's got their head down looking at their phone, right? So I need to trade some of that Facebook time and telephone time to Bible time. Now, if my Bible happens to be on my phone, great. But that's something to think about. What am I going to study? Do I need to purchase study aids? You know, something to help me study towards my goal. Who do I know can help me? Who do I know that's a subject matter expert in the area I want to study? You know, those are kind of things that I want to ask myself if I want to be a better Bible student. Those are kind of questions I ask myself in order to attain the goal that I want. So, what are my goals? Well, here's my goal for 2024. I'm sharing this with you to maybe inspire you, maybe for you to think of ways that you can improve your Bible study if that's what you want to do. So my goal this year is to read through the Bible twice. That's pretty aggressive, isn't it? So a hyper guy like me, how am I going to do that? I can't sit still. Well, I have Bluetooth. So I have a Bible on my phone. I can listen to it when I'm doing other things. I can't be doing it when I'm studying, but I can do it when I'm doing menial things, taking out trash or things like that. So that's my way of compensating for what I want to do. Because I can't sit still for reading through the Bible twice the whole year. That's a lot of sit-down time for me. So that's how I compensate. That's how I'm going to compensate for that. So how am I going to get that done? So let me break that down a little further. So this Bible, this one, has 2,300 pages. So I've got to do 4,600 pages of reading this year if I want to read through it twice. So that means every 6 months I've got to read 2,300 pages, which means that I've got to do 380 pages a month, 95 pages a week, or 20 pages a day if it's a five-day week. So I've broken it down to that level so that I know how to proceed and how to get my goal accomplished. So I'm suggesting that you might want to, if whatever goal you decide to do, break it down to that level so that you can, it'll be bite-sized pieces for you. Otherwise, if you just have a generic statement in your goals, it's going to be too hard to digest and you may give up on it. So if that's my goal. So if that's too aggressive for you, plan B would be, or maybe plan A would be to join the group meet Bible reading game, because that's a once a year read through the Bible plan. And if you are not a part of that, I would encourage you to ask him. He'll get you logged on and you just follow a group every day. So that's another alternative. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but how many of you have ever read through the Bible? If you haven't, I would encourage you to do that as a goal for this year. And I also, through my research, found that only 10% of the population reads their Bible every day. So I hope that's not said about us. Hope it's more than 10%. So another goal of my studies, that's part one of my studies, is I want to go through the Bible twice this year. Another part is I want improvement. I want a deep dive of Scripture. Okay, so I want to scrutinize the Scriptures. I want to. That means that I get down, I don't understand a word, I look up what that word means in the context that I'm reading it. Look other passages up that maybe relate to that, so I get a better handle on that particular Scripture. I need to determine what I want to learn about. I need to determine what my areas of knowledge gaps are. And that's part of your 2 Corinthians 13:5 assignment, if you want to call it that. Is what are my gaps? What are my knowledge gaps in the Bible? There's probably a lot of gaps we all have. I want to become a subject matter expert of that particular thing that I want to study. I want to be really good at it. I don't understand it. Let me give you an example. I'm gonna embarrass Jim. Jim, to me, is a subject matter expert on Jewish culture and the way that Jewish people thought in the first century church. I think most of you can agree with that. Now, did that happen by accident? I would say no. He studied his brains out, probably to get where he's at now. You can't do that without a lot of study. Granted, he's a preacher and he gets to spend a lot of time doing that, and I'm glad for that. But my point is Jim did not hope that he would be really understanding of the Jewish culture. He studied. He had to have studied. I'm never even talking about this, but I know he had, because you can't just obtain that knowledge. So that's my point. Become a subject matter expert in whatever your weaknesses are, whatever you're wanting to learn. With those two ways of study this coming year, I will be a better Bible student, which takes me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You want to turn to that? I'm sorry, I haven't turned to a lot of verses today, but I would ask you to meditate on the verses that we have talked about. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So if I do what I say I'm going to do, am I going to be a better Bible student? I better be. If I really set my mind to it and do those goals that I have made for myself, I should be a better Bible student, which again allows me to obey what I read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So that's one of my goals. And I haven't detailed all that out yet. I'm just kind of giving you the summary of it. Another goal of mine, again, this isn't rocket science. Another goal of mine is to develop a better and more robust prayer life. So what does I mean? So, you know, if I leave it at this, have I really developed a plan, a goal that's attainable? I want a better, more robust prayer life, and I leave it like that. Is that really something that I can put my hands on and grab? I would challenge you to say no. So hopefully as you're thinking, writing some things down. So it needs to be written down, it needs to be attainable, it needs to be specific. So what is important to me is the question we need to ask ourselves. In my particular case, here are my specific goals I'm developing. And I don't have this developed yet. I've just been working on it. Have a dependency on prayer. What does that mean? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us that we need to pray without ceasing. Well, obviously we know that you can't be 100% prayer all the time. But we need to be the mindset of prayer all the time. So if it's a 5-second prayer, a 10-minute prayer, whatever, we need to always be in that kind of mindset. I need to be in that kind of dependent mode. It's a continual habit. All right, so I'm going to get personal a little bit. So I talked about being a home inspector. When I go to a home, every time I go to a home, I pray when I'm at that house to make sure that I'm safe. And I'll tell you why. Make sure that I'm safe from lawyers, because that's a high-risk job from a lawyer standpoint. I pray that I find everything I need to find. I do that every house. I just started doing that, and I feel better when I do that. I think the Lord's watching over me. Doesn't mean he's going to let everything slide. It just means that I depend on him. I haven't been doing that until recently, and I think it's better for me. So I've run across snakes. I've run across brown recluses. I've fallen through a ceiling this year, and I'm safe. So the point is, we need to be dependent on God to help us. And if you're like me, you know, I kind of like to do my things myself and kind of proud of that. So, you know, we need to humble ourselves for God to take care of us. So key point is, if we have dependency on God, we will be in a constant reliance of prayer. So just keep that in mind. If you go a day without praying, ask yourself, is my prayer life really robust as it should be? Just saying, I've gone days without doing that. I admit, you know, get busy, life, whatever. So, you know, I want to improve on that. You know, also, seems like we all pray when we need something in a situation. The prayer is one of the biggest blessings that we don't take advantage of. I've thought about that a lot throughout my life. You know, I wish I would have prayed more on certain things. You know, again, I'm driving this car. I got the big windshield in front. I got the rear view. Okay, I didn't do it as good as I did then. I understand that. Let's move forward. So, the Bible talks about different kinds of prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving, supplication, praise, confession, consecration, the list goes on. And so I'm going to get better at those. Not just better at asking for things, but praying for the other things. And so like I said, I haven't quite detailed out my particular goals in my improving of my prayer life. But, you know, I think about the Lord's Prayer. I would if prayer is something that you want to improve on this year, I would encourage you to read the Lord's Prayer and deep dive that and look at all the things he's saying and asking for. It's not just one thing, it's several things. And I'd ask you to spend some time looking at that and deep diving that. So, you know, my first goal is to read through the Bible twice and then deep dive. A supplement inside of that. So, I've already started doing that. So, if I've done that, then as I'm reading, okay, I'm thinking about my prayer life, and then I'm reading about people like David and Moses and Abraham in a different avenue when they say their prayers. I was talking to Jim about this. I was thinking about how gutsy Moses was in the way he talked to God. He really lays the law down. I mean, not lays the law down, but he certainly says his mind. And, you know, I never thought about that until I read through it and go, wow, he was pretty aggressive in his discussions with God. But can you see how, in my particular case, reading my Bible is going to improve my prayer life too, because I've read about these characters in the Bible that had prayers and I could learn from that. So kind of, you'll probably find that your goal, whatever your goals are, that they're kind of going to be intertwined with each other. That way. So, our spiritual goals for 2024, gotta make it personal. Gotta make it personal in you. Don't make it to what your spouse says for you to do. Look at it yourself. Figure out what you need to do. Really focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. That's a key. Spend an hour on that one. Just deep dive it. Think about it. Think about yourself. You know, maybe these aren't your goals. That's okay. You need to do what is going to help you be a better Christian, whatever that may be. Maybe it's being more engaged to work here. Maybe you're the kind of person that comes late and leaves early. maybe think about coming early and staying later so you can be more engaged with people. Maybe it's being more active in the worship service. Maybe for you shy people that are timid, force yourself to do something a little out there. Maybe that could be a goal for you. Maybe if you're not a teacher, maybe you could shadow with somebody that is teaching and maybe learn how to be a teacher. Maybe it's just getting up a little early and making sure you come to Bible class. And I think I kind of think about how much Bible study we do. If you include Wednesdays too, we've got 100 plus hours of additional study time that you wouldn't have normally gotten. I'm rounding 45 minutes up to an hour to make it easier, but you kind of get the point. Maybe it's improving your temper. Maybe it's improving your patience. Maybe it's being more hospitable to people. Maybe instead of waiting for a potluck to happen, maybe you invite a couple people to your house and see you get to know. A lot of you guys know I like coffee, and we've met for coffee, and I enjoy that. And so whatever you want to do, set your goals for yourself. Your goals are your goals. Make them personal to you. So remember that when you are goal setting, you need to write it down, look at it daily. You need to be realistic and specific. If you can do those for your goals that you're establishing for yourself, you can be successful in achieving those goals if you maintain that. It's like I said, it's not rocket science. It's something you've got to be consistent with, but you got to get it to the level where you can. You can't be so big. You got to drill down until it's something you can grab a hold of and attain. So, if I'm offering this, if you need help setting your goals, let me know. I'll be happy to sit down with a cup of coffee with you. This is one of my stronger points, I guess, out of us three, maybe. I haven't really talked to Todd, but Jim says it probably is. So if you want help with that, I'll be happy to work with you, help you set your goals. Something I'd love to help you with, and Todd and Jim would too. He said, what are you who feel comfortable with? It doesn't matter. If you have a goal and you're struggling with it, let us help you. That's why we're here. We're here to serve. So, and as Jim says, let's have some coffee together. I like coffee. I love coffee. And I'd be happy to do that. So hopefully this lesson has been encouragement to you and hopefully excites you a little bit for the coming year of how you can improve yourself, how I can improve myself, and how it can be a better service walk with God. But really that's what it's all about, is improving our service, improving our walk with God. And we got to remember that we're here on this journey together. We're not racing each other. We're in a marathon with each other. If somebody may be going faster than me, that's okay. Are we still going the same direction? It's okay. If somebody falls down, we help pick them up. So that's what it's about. We're here working together. And if there's anything that you know any of us can do to help that, please holler. But if someone here would like to become a Christian, now is a good set time to do that. Again, it's a refreshing part of the year. Starting a new year, wouldn't that be great if you decided to become a Christian? If you would have a need in any way, need assistance of anything, please come forward as we stand and sing.